Do you get frustrated with porn filters that block too much or too little? Let me introduce you to Plucky, a new filter that you customize. Here's how it works. You set your own boundaries, deciding which websites are and aren't safe for you. If you're thinking, I'm not sure I can trust myself all the time, Plucky is made for you. It enforces the boundaries that you set, and it enforces them with steel, so you can't self-sabotage when tempted. Plucky puts your best self in control. People in over 100 countries use Plucky. Pricing is on a sliding scale, so it's affordable for everyone. For a free 30-day trial with no sign-up required, go to pluckyfilter.com. Take courage, take control, get Plucky. Good day, friends. Jonathan Daugherty here with another edition of the PSR Podcast. You know, we're a listener-supported outreach of Be Broken Ministries, and our mission is to help individuals and families move from sexual brokenness to wholeness in Christ and equip others to do the same. In today's episode, I sit down with Matt Klein from Restored Ministries to talk about what it means to have a Jesus-centered sexuality. We explore how inviting Jesus into our struggles with sexual brokenness, like addiction, infidelity, or shame, can lead to real healing and freedom. Matt shares some practical steps, personal stories, and encouragement for anyone feeling stuck, reminding us that Jesus offers hope, grace, and transformation. We also discuss the importance of open conversations in the church and share resources for those who are seeking support on their journey to wholeness. So to learn more about Matt and the resources from his ministry, visit restoredministries.ca. For even more resources, visit bebroken.org, or you can check out the links that we're going to put in today's show notes. And listeners, as always, I'm going to invite you to please rate and review the podcast after listening. All right, so let's dive into today's critical conversation with Matt on Jesus-centered sexuality. Well, all right, we've got back on the program with us Matt Klein. Matt, how's it going?
Oh, great. Great to be with you, Jonathan.
Yeah, so, you know, we've had you on actually several times before, a couple times in 2022, and then most recently last year in 2024. And we've talked about all kinds of things around sort of the recovery space, and especially dealing with men who are having all kinds of issues with sexual brokenness. Eventually, we're going to talk today about Jesus-centered sexuality. But before we get to that topic, can you just tell us a little bit about what maybe has been going on in your ministry? And for those maybe who haven't heard those previous podcasts and don't know who you are, could you share a little bit about who you are and the ministry that you run?
Sure. Thanks. Yeah. So Restored Ministries is about helping sexually broken people find wholeness in Christ. And we have a large focus on our identity in Christ, intimacy with Christ being the foundation for escaping bondage, whether it's a porn addiction or sexual abuse or infidelity or whatever that might be. And so we certainly dive into emotional wounds and emotional trauma and stuff, but with Jesus at the center of it, and we see so much transformation. And so that's our large focus. And then we're also just moving a lot into equipping the church at large. But what is, well, you said it, what is Jesus-centered sexuality? How could we have Jesus at the center of our sexual desire? And started kind of seeing maybe a gap there where churches would want to talk about sex or porn with people who are already struggling. But people who didn't have a struggle that already have a sex drive were kind of left out of the conversation. And so it's exciting to start equipping people with what it looks like for God to be at the center of their sex drive, whether they have an addictive habit in their life or not.
That's good. Yeah. So yeah, let's talk about Jesus-centered sexuality. So first of all, what does that mean? And I know we're going to try to unpack, there's lots of layers to that, but when a person hears that, they might have all kinds of ideas. For one, they might go, you just put Jesus and sexuality in literally the same phrase, and then you're saying Jesus is supposed to be the center of what it means to be sexual. So can you just unpack that phrase for us in terms of maybe definitions?
Yeah, well, it is a bit of a mind trip for people. I had a pastor say to me recently, he said, this is such a different way of talking about sex, because usually we don't talk about Jesus at the center of our sexuality. And I just said, and he agreed, but we were just talking about it. Like, what an actually sad reality that we don't talk about Jesus being at the center of our sexuality. And so a lot of us, especially when we have an addictive history with pornography or whatever it might be, with our sexual urges, we're trying to resist always, and we're trying to push it away and get rid of it. But what if we just learn to invite Jesus in to be the center of our sexuality, and that our sexuality or lust or urges could actually point to a greater intimacy with him? And this kind of started to unravel for me when I was reading. I was actually putting together a lesson on Matthew 5, where he's talking about lust. And he says, if you look at a woman with lust in your heart, you've committed adultery with her. And that word "with" really stood out to me, because if you're committing adultery with someone, you're also at the same time committing adultery against someone. And so in studying, I'm like, who are we committing adultery against? If Jesus is talking to a group of married people and single people and saying, if you lust after a married person or a single person, you're committing adultery with them, who are you committing adultery against? And naturally, it's the one that you're in a covenant with. And so if you're a single person lusting after a single person, it doesn't really even logically make sense that you would be committing adultery unless it's through the lens of the spiritual covenant that we have with God. And so it's, on one hand, it could be almost a condemning statement, like, oh my gosh, this sin is bad enough that on an earthly level that I'm committing this sin, but now it's against God. But I like to also encourage that on the other side of it, it could be a reminder that every time there is a potentially lustful situation, or you get triggered that you want to go to sexual sin, it could be a reminder of that spiritual covenant that we have with God. And we could go to him in our mind, and we could start worshiping and praising him, that he actually is more beautiful than anything this world has to offer. And it goes with Romans 1, where Romans 1 says that we exchange the truth of God for a lie. And so he turns us over to sexual immorality. But he says we worship created things in that chapter versus the Creator. And so when we have a tendency to worship created things, it could be an opportunity to remember that Jesus is at the center of our sexuality. And it could even urge us or trigger us to worship Jesus instead. So that's kind of the foundation for mm-hmm. me, how this started with Jesus-centered sexuality.
Well, I love that idea of if you're committing adultery with, you're also committing adultery against. And the idea, the kind of, as you were mentioning, a little bit of the positive side of that is realizing that we have a God in heaven. We have one who wants covenant with us, who wants the intimate relationship with us. And I think it's important for us to remember that at the center of this is a God who loves us enough to die for us and bring us into that oneness relationship with him and his spirit. So, as we unpack this a little bit more, help us also to understand why having this conversation really even matters. Because here's the thing I'm imagining, and I know you've seen it a lot in your ministry, and probably this is maybe what a lot of Christian leaders and pastors are dealing with, is there's all kinds of presenting issues of brokenness in sexuality.
Yeah.
And so usually what gets highlighted is how do we fix the brokenness in the sexuality? So why does a conversation about Jesus-centered sexuality matter when maybe all that a person is able to see is the brokenness in their sexuality, pornography, affairs, abuse, all this kinds of other stuff?
Yeah, well, you're right. And even beyond what you were talking about with the brokenness, the symptoms that you're talking about, you and I both know that then it goes to father wounds and trauma from our past and stuff like that. And so I find a lot of the guys that we've worked with, where they, in their initial conversations with us, say, hey, I've been in recovery for 4 years, or I've been in recovery for 6 years or whatever. And I ask them about their process. I find that often these guys could name a lot of the traumas in their life. I have father wounds. I have mother wounds. I have this, thing in my past, and I've been trying to work through it, trying to heal from it. And I'll ask them, hey, could you tell me about your prayer life? And it's often not there. Or could you tell me about how quickly you come to the Lord after committing sin? And often it's, you know, days of beating themselves up. And so I saw this pattern of people that had been in a recovery process, whatever that looked like in their life, for years. And still Jesus was not at the center of it. Because at the center of their process of getting out of sin was trying to heal from all of the brokenness in their life, but Jesus wasn't at the center of it. When you look at scripture, this was a big thing for me in my sin. In the middle of my sin, I could point to the emotional wounds from different points in my life that were leading to fantasies and that I wasn't handling well. I had some awareness, probably not full, but some. And one day I was reading scripture and I saw that it said, crucify the desires of your flesh. And I thought, oh, crucify the desire or crucify sinful desires. And it doesn't say if you're emotionally healthy. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh, okay. So how do I do this then? So what it led to was coming out of the emotional, the journey to emotional health and dealing with trauma, but going to the power of the Holy Spirit in me and having Jesus really be the Lord of my life and having the fear of God be present that leads to wisdom. And so that was literally the thing that got me out of sin, was looking at scripture and going, oh, it doesn't, it even says scripturally, sorry, Jonathan, this light just went off and threw me off.
Hey, no problem.
Let me see if this will...
It's a nice effect.
Yeah, I like exactly. That.
Yeah.
Oh, this is weird. I'll come back.
And so let me ask you another question here. Now that we've got the light issue fixed, right? You know, so maybe we need to even back up even a little bit more to the 30,000 foot view, because I do not want to make the assumption that everyone who is listening or watching this even knows what it is to have Jesus, to be in a relationship with Jesus. Can you help us understand just a basic understanding of the gospel? We're talking about Jesus-centered sexuality. That presupposes you have a relationship with Jesus. How does one even come into a relationship with Jesus so that he can be at the center of their sexuality?
Yeah, that's a really good question, an important question. And, you know, Jesus, I believe, is God, and we were created by God. And he made us to prosper, not just financially, but prosper in relationship and prosper in our inner health and prosper in various ways with the purpose that he had for us. And so when we have so much brokenness in our life, we're constantly on this pursuit, whether it's conscious or not, to find wholeness and to find completeness in our life, to find what it looks like to have good relationship, to have good self-confidence. And Jesus, being the one who made us, knows exactly how to fill us, unlike anybody else. And so we could desperately cry out to God, even if we don't know him, and just say things like, Jesus, if you are real, can you make me know that? If you are real, can you show up in my life? And it says in the Bible that if you seek him with a sincere heart, with a genuine heart, you will find him. And so it might not be the first time that we cry out. It might be, but it might be the second time or the 30th time that you cry out to God with this desperation that you want out of your sin. Or out of whatever the behavior is, that you'll find this relationship. And not only does Jesus want to bring us out of the brokenness in our life, but like I was saying, he knows what it is to fill us, to complete us, to bring wholeness into our life in a way that nobody else can, because he is our creator. And so Jesus, really, it's so important, I believe, to have a relationship there. And not only does he find wholeness in our life, but he also takes the bad in our life and he turns it into good in various ways. But I find that to be so important, because when Jesus is at the center of our process with sexual brokenness, we don't just look back at our sexual brokenness or our past with shame or with guilt or with regret or with regret. We actually can see the purpose that he is working out of it, just like you. You've spent decades now helping other guys because of your brokenness. Mm-hmm. And so when Jesus is at the center of our process of coming out of brokenness, he starts to do so much good with it. And I just think there's nobody like Jesus. And I encourage everybody to seek that relationship with him.
Yeah. And the good news of the gospel is that to enter into that relationship is absolutely free. because it was paid for by him. So the sin that we, you know, the debt that we owed to God was totally paid for by him. And so to enter is absolutely this free gift. And out of that free gift, what we're going to be talking about here even more is what does it look like then to walk in the ways that we were actually designed for by our Creator? And that's the beauty of what, when you're talking about only Jesus can fill us in ways that nothing else can, because he is the source of our life, not just our physical life. He is the source of our life that is truly life, eternal life. And so I want to ask too, how does this idea of Jesus-centered sexuality, how does that differ from some of the maybe predominant views that people have, whether they are in the church or out of the church, maybe even more so opposed to some of the predominant views that are in the church? Because I think this is still a foreign concept to a lot of people who are Christians, this idea of Jesus-centered sexuality. So how does it differ from some of the other ways that people try to address and maybe steward sexuality?
Yeah, it's a good question. So in those verses in Matthew 5, Jesus says, you say to not commit adultery, like basically, or you have heard that it was said, or you guys say to not commit adultery. So what he's talking about is a human relationship, an earthly view of sex. So adultery would be going outside of your marriage. But then in the very next verse, Matthew 5:28, that I referred to earlier with adultery being against the covenant that we have with him, he's bringing himself into the conversation. And so a lot of us, I find, have that first view. When we're talking about recovery or getting out of sexual brokenness, we have a worldly mindset of sex or an earthly mindset of sex that's void of our sexuality pointing to Jesus. So what's so important, I think, is understanding that when we're pursuing health or we're dealing with triggers and we're dealing with, you know, maybe it's rejection or maybe it's trauma or whatever it may be, we can try to deal with our triggers by eliminating them from our life. Or we could say, hey, Jesus, every time I'm I feel rejected, I know that 1 Peter 2:4 says that Jesus was rejected by mankind, but he's chosen and precious to God. Thank you that I am chosen by you and that I am precious to you. And we can go to this acceptance that we have from the Lord that then really eliminates triggers from our life. And so I think the differing approaches would be, do we have to get totally emotionally healthy? Do we have to eliminate triggers from our life in order to get free of sin? Or when these things are present, can we invite Jesus in and have his lordship and his authority be so strong and so real in our life that we don't have to go to sin, even in the face of hardship? Mm-hmm. And so to summarize, I think that would be maybe the best way to say, to speak to the difference.
Now, what is it even just about our sexuality, the way that we were designed, male and female? I mean, that's an aspect of sexuality even there, just maleness and femaleness, but also even within that, the fact that there are sexual desires, how does that help us understand God himself and maybe what we were made for beyond just the act of sex?
Thank you for saying that. That's what I was going to say, is there's the act of sex and then there's sexual desires. And we think of our sexual desires being ultimately fulfilled by the act of sex. And so when I was stuck in porn, I would think, this is a physical thing that I'm desiring. I'm desiring a sexual experience, and God is not physical. So how on earth could he come and satisfy me? That doesn't make any sense. But then as I learned relationship with Jesus, like I have this verse, 1 Corinthians 6 in front of me. And in 1 Corinthians 5, he's talking about getting sin out of the church. Don't even tolerate any form of sexual sin. And then 1 Corinthians 6, he goes through all of these things that point to him in terms of our sexuality. And so he says, the body is for the Lord and the Lord is for the body. And I'm like, whoa, I never realized that the Lord was for my body. That doesn't on an earthly level make sense to me. But when I start to see things through a spiritual covenant that my sexual desires can be a thing that point me to this relationship with Jesus, that I start praising him and thanking him for who he is when I feel tempted, that starts to change my view of it. And then it says, God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ. I'm like, wow, so our sexual urges in our body can point to this relationship with Jesus that starts to satisfy us in new ways. And I never realized this until I started reading scripture through this lens of this spiritual covenant. And that if Jesus, his physical body was raised by God, that our physical desires also can be satisfied by God, not through the act of sex, but in looking beneath the surface and going, I think I actually want intimacy, or I think I actually want connection, or I think I want to feel significance. And God can reveal that when I'm feeling tempted by something, and he can satisfy that. And so practically in my life, pornography was very closely connected to feeling insignificant. And I would often say, like, nobody's impacted by my life. You know, I went through this whole day, and whose life was better because of mine? And I would say these things to myself and then find comfort in pornography. And when I started to realize that my significance didn't come from the things that I did or my impact in this world, but it came from simply Jesus died on the cross for me, which means I must have extreme value in his eyes, it started to change the way that I would view my sexual urges, because the sexual urges used to be a comfort for feeling insignificant. But now I'm like, no, wait a second. I am so significant in him. And the urges started to dissipate in my life.
Yeah. And I think about this, you know, if you think about probably the most powerful physical desire and feeling that we can have is likely sexual, right? I mean, that's a powerful thing. And if we start realizing that that is supposed to point us to the fact that there's nothing in this world, even in the way that God has created a man and a woman to come together in expressing that physical desire, that cannot ultimately meet what the deeper desires of intimacy is. And so I look at it and I'm like, all of these desires are ultimately pointing me to something that if I keep trying to get them satisfied only through a physical means, it's going to come up empty.
Right.
So it's got to be pointing me to something deeper and realizing that only Jesus is the one. Now, that's the beauty of it. What are some obstacles? I mean, as you start trying to teach people, we're going to talk about practicalities in a minute, but like, how do you actually live with a Jesus-centered sexuality? What are some of the obstacles that people face to really pursuing that kind of a life?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that there's two main things that come to mind. And one is when people say, I don't actually believe that Jesus is better than this. Mm-hmm. Like, I've never experienced him in a real way. And I don't believe that he can fulfill my desires. And, you know, I read the Bible or I try to pray and I don't experience that satisfaction. And one of the things that we do with the people that we work with is try to guide them in reading scripture or praying or worshiping or whatever in a way that it really does come alive. And so we're not just doing our maybe daily devotional or a chapter a day, but we're slowing down and we're meditating differently. And so I think that there's a way for it to become more real, but that's certainly on the outset an obstacle. And then the second obstacle is just when people are so hurt and wounded in life. And there's a lot of sympathy and compassion for that because it's really tough and I've been there. Mm-hmm. But when there's so much hurt, it seems like we can't see through that and we can't go to experience this really deep relationship with Jesus because we are so wounded. But I want to say this too. I'm not saying that that's not important. I'm just saying that I don't believe it's primary. I think the primary thing is relationship with Jesus on an intimate level. But what happens is that he does heal those wounds. He does do that. And I remember when I confessed sexual sin in my life, two nights later, I woke up. It was about 4:15 in the morning. I felt like God woke me up. There were these three memories that came to mind from my teenage years. I was describing them to myself as if I was talking to somebody else. And all of a sudden, I said the words out of my mouth that somebody else had used in talking to me and describing male sexual abuse. And I said, was I sexually abused? And I had this wild experience in my body. My body started shaking a little bit. And I was like, whoa, there's like some trauma in my body that I've been carrying for so long. And so God took me through this process of being aware, number one, and then healing from sexual abuse that I experienced. But first was committing my sexuality to him, and then he did heal those emotional wounds.
Yeah, and I think that's an important point to make, is that it's, you know, I think about going even all the way back to the Ten Commandments, the very first one: you shall have no other gods before me or beside me. You know, the idea was, in terms of that position of ultimate and total authority, allegiance, the only one worthy of worship, the only one worthy of being in the center, that's the place that Christ occupies. Mm. And yet, that's not saying there's nothing else of any importance in your life, mm. or there's nothing else of any good in your life. But recognize that the source of all that is him. Yeah. And therefore, when there's brokenness in any of those areas, are you making any of those areas an idol? Are you making maybe a recovery process, yeah. of trying to fix that problem? That's the source of my hope, is, you know, that next step that I take or whatever. And so I think it's a really good point that you're making. So let's try to get practical here. I mean, I feel like we've been touching around it in a lot of ways, but I know that there are people that are going, hey, I think I'm starting to understand what you're talking about, Matt. And I get this idea of maybe even the connection between how our bodies even start to kind of tell us about something of this relationship with Christ. But how do I actually start living in this way? How do I practically live with a Jesus-centered sexuality?
Yeah, that's a good question. And this was really profound for me. It was in Colossians 3, verses 15 to 17. I was reading this maybe a year and a half ago or a year ago or something. And I thought, you know what? I've never done what it's saying to do here. And so it says, let the peace of Christ reign in your heart. And I'm like, wow, that sounds amazing. How do I do that? And I don't know how to do that, especially in heightened emotional times when I'm faced with really like a lot of pain. Let the peace of Christ reign. This is what I want, but how do I do it? And then the next few verses, it says things like, and be thankful, sing songs to God, sing hymns, spiritual songs, sing praises to him, admonish one another. So you're in community. It says to teach one another. And everything you do, do with thankfulness in your heart. And I'm like, oh, so it actually tells me exactly what to do. It's pretty cool. So I was reading with Psalm 149 a couple of days ago, and it starts with praise the Lord. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I stopped and I just praised the Lord. And then it says things like praise him with a new song. And I'm like, okay. So I sang a new song to God, just made it up. I'm a terrible singer. This morning I was just jokingly singing a song to my wife. I'm such a bad singer. So I was with my two boys there. They're 4 and 6. I was like, boys, this is how to warm up your voice. And so I'm warming up my voice, but everything's cracking and stuff. It was terrible. But I just say that to say, you don't need to be a good singer to praise God. Like, he loves that we come to him. And so when it was so important for me to understand that when I have a desire to act out sexually, to go to sin, I really want peace in my heart. And when I read scripture and I slow it down, and I don't just say, hey, I got to read Colossians 3 today so I get my Bible time in, but I slow it down and I'm like, oh, I want peace. How do I do this? And then you slow it down and you do what the Bible says to do. It's pretty cool that peace actually does come into our life. Romans 6:13 is very relevant to what we're talking about, because it talks about don't offer the members of your body, the body parts to evil or to sin as members of unrighteousness, but instead give them to God as instruments of righteousness. So we could read that and we could read the chapter and just go through it and go, well, I didn't really experience God. Or you could just stop on that verse. And we walk through this with our guys and we could stop and go, hey, God, I want to present my hands to you that I've used in sin as members of righteousness to you. What's the purpose that you have in mind for my hands? Whether God speaks to you and you hear it or not, you could even just dwell on, hey, why did God give me hands? And you can go to your sexual organs and you can go to different parts of your body and do what it says practically. And it starts to really change the way that we view our body and view sex and view God. And a lot of, I find, the lies that we believe that open the door to sexual sin start to go away when we really practically start to do what the Bible says to do.
Well, and that's what I love about it. The actual life that Christ has called us to is not one of chaos or just total, you know, weighing us down. He says that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. So like, if we're yoked to him, he's not saying, hey, listen, I'm trying to crush your spirit. I'm trying to crush your soul. I'm trying to crush your life. It's like, actually, the more we're yoked to him, the more we realize, you know what? He's calling me to a simple life, a life that is about peace, rest, and joy. And so I love that. And I love the fact that, like, that you mentioned that specific Colossians passage, that so many times, if we're willing to just look, so many times the instruction is right there in terms of the practicality of, well, what does it look like for peace to reign in my life? Well, just read one more verse, right? And it tells you, oh, these things will help with that becoming a reality in your life. So before we close, I just want to ask, is there anything else that you really want to try to communicate about what it means to live a Jesus-centered sexuality? And especially, what word of hope would you have for somebody out there that's going, I've tried this, I've tried that, I thought I was trying to live this kind of life, and I just feel discouraged. What would you want to say to anyone out there that's feeling like they're kind of weighed down and wondering, is there really freedom? Does this really, quote unquote, work? You know, what's the hope in continuing to try to live in this way?
Yeah, I was really feeling to do that. So thank you for asking, because I know what it's like to feel so stuck. I know what it's like to feel like I don't want to do this, but I'm doing it. I'm like watching my hands type things into the internet that I don't want to do. And I know what it's like to just feel like I've repented of this 1,000 times. And I remember one guy said, I'm a really good quitter. I've quit 1,000 times. and I know what that's like. And it feels so hopeless. And you try and you try and you try, and you've been through recovery programs, and it seems like just nothing works. And I just want to encourage you that the lie that the enemy will put in our minds is that you have tried everything and nothing works. Look at you. It works for other people, but not for you. But Jesus is no respecter of persons, which means what he did for someone else, he can do for you. And he is so interested in you walking out the freedom that he paid for in your life. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to encourage you to not believe that you have tried everything and nothing works for you, that you're somehow different and worse off than everybody else, because it's not up to you. It's up to the Spirit of God in you becoming real. You allow him to lead you. You walk in step with the Spirit, and Jesus being Lord of your life really can set you free. And I've experienced that, Jonathan, you've experienced it. And I've heard this from some guys lately, that I've never seen freedom. I've never seen anybody walk in freedom. And I just want to say, like, there are a lot of people walking in genuine freedom, mm-hmm. not just from behavior, but in our mind. Like, I don't have fantasy in my mind. I don't really deal with temptations, to be honest. Thoughts might come every once in a while, but can just kind of do away with it. And you can get there, because I was not always there. I was in the thick of it, where it was every day or multiple times a day, and secrets and shame and all of it. And Jesus set me free, and he can do it for you too. So hold on to that hope and continue pursuing him and continue pursuing mentorship for what it looks like to have that relationship with Jesus that's so central.
Yeah, you know, when you first started sharing that, I thought of we need a t-shirt that says "Stop quitting, start living," because it's like, I think there's an inordinate focus, especially in recovery work, of quit, 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 quit. And I love the fact that you had a guy, I've quit 1,000 times, I'm a great quitter.
Yeah.
We need to say start living in this new way, where you really are trying to shift the focus to Jesus is at the center.
That's awesome.
And you know what, I would say, just on a practical level, to those who are out there that are feeling that sense of hopelessness or whatever, is just be honest with Jesus and just ask him, saying, Jesus, I don't know what it's like. I don't really know how to put you at the center. But if it means every day, I'm just going to tell myself, Jesus, you're at the center, and just try to get my mind focused on that. Just see what might happen over the next 30 days of just saying, I want to just keep saying that and figure out what that next step looks like.
That's
Matt, cool. This has been a great conversation. Where can our listeners and viewers go to just learn more about what you guys are doing and the resources that your ministry offers?
Thank you. So you can go to restoredministries.ca. All the info is there. And our YouTube show is The Exposed Life. So you can find that on the website or look up The Exposed Life on YouTube. And then I also want to say we have a survey. So you can go to restoredministries.ca/survey. And it's the Church and Sexuality Survey. And we're putting it out. Churches can use it. So pastors or leaders can request a unique link that they'll get so they can use the survey just for their people and get the results for that. And but also you can just take the general survey at the website. And I encourage you to do that. And I'm even asking you to do it because it's so informative for churches and leaders and for ministries and organizations to know what is going on. We started doing these mini sexual health assessments at events that we do. And it brought to light so much that we didn't even know after years of doing this work. And so the Church and Sexuality Survey is going to be so informative for pastors and leaders to know what is going on for their people with sexual perversion. And it's also helpful for each individual. So those are some things that you can check out and find that at the website.
Yeah, we will make sure that all of that is in the show notes. But Matt, it's always good to connect with you. And thanks again for being on the program.
Thanks, Jonathan.
Yeah. Well, folks, we're going to put all that information that Matt just mentioned into the show notes. So please check that out. Go take the survey. Go look at their resources. Hop on their YouTube channel. Our hope is to help you take your next best step towards experiencing wholeness in Christ. And so that's what we want to do. Reach out to us. We want to help you do that. And as always, we're glad you've been with us, and we look forward to seeing you back here again next time on the broadcast. Take care.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.